can you, with a straight face, make the argument that more guns will make us safer? We know that states with the most gun laws tend to have the fewest gun deaths. So the notion that gun laws don't work or just will make it harder for law-abiding citizens and criminals will still get their guns, it's not borne out by the evidence. Somebody somewhere will comment and say, Obama politicized this issue.
Radio
underground. We have audio, no video.
Radio Free Vida.
This is a pirate transmission from District 13 with a message.
Radio Free Readout begins in 5, 4, 3, 2.
Welcome, Patriots, to the voice of the American Redoubt. This is the John Jacob Schmidt Show, and my name is your name, too. If you're a God-fearing, liberty-loving patriot, this is episode 16-05, and we're going to do something a little bit different this morning. This morning? Wow. It's all blurring together. This evening, Sunday evening, and I am not going to do a news and commentary section this evening. Because of, well, I just didn't get a chance to get it put together because it has been nonstop in the last 24 hours, phone calls and texts and emails and conference calls and stuff that has just been wild and crazy. But there are a couple things that I'm going to talk about. Oh, and also because of that busyness today, I will not be doing a partisan radio this evening. I am going to continue working on the notes, though, when everything quiets down. That's why I am up till 1:30 in the morning, because that's my quiet time. I hardly get any emails that hour, and there's no distractions. So I'll be working on that, and then hopefully tomorrow, but if not Tuesday, but hopefully tomorrow, I'll be able to get the next episode of Partisan Radio uploaded. But what I am going to do is talk a little bit more about the situation in Oregon, because there's new developments since I spoke about it yesterday. Now, those of you who wanted to get my take on things, I want to encourage you to go to yesterday's show from the American Christian Network, where we aired live yesterday on the radio. And then, of course, that's uploaded at our Podbean site and then also at radiofreeredoubt.com. And that posting was yesterday. I talked about it quite a bit then, but there are a couple of things I didn't get a chance to get to. Plus, there are new developments that I wanted to cover that have developed since yesterday's show. And then I'm going to cover a letter, which is the first shot taken at the American Redoubt movement by a liberal so-called journalist. And I am going to go through his article that he posted. And of course, some of the liberal-owned newspapers in the American Redoubt recirculated his article. And I'm going to have fun just tearing it apart. And it's a matter of time. The movement's growing, and it's been this under-the-surface type of thing for a long time. We've enjoyed that anonymity, I guess, if you will, but it's starting to make it on the radar. And the communists are starting to come out of the woodwork, and they finally recognize this threat that's been looming that none of them had heard about, and now it's got their attention. So we'll see. But I am going to address that tonight, right after what would be the news and commentary, brought to you by Glenn Tate and the 299 Days book series about the collapse and the rebuilding. So, in lieu of the news and commentary section, there is a little bit of news, but first, our Facebook page. Someone sent me an email saying, hey, they're blocking Radio Free Redoubt and others, and you know other websites are working, but with Radio Free Redoubt on Facebook, it's only allowing the header. They're blocking all the other content. Well, I use a VPN, so I came in from a IP from Toronto, one from Australia, and I'm allowed to go to Radio Free Redoubt. It is not blocked on my end. So I'm not sure what you're experiencing. Maybe it was a temporary glitch that happened at the time that you sent the email in. But I just checked it here recently in the last half an hour and worked both times. So hopefully it works for you. Now, a couple of items. First of all, the situation in Oregon is apparently re-escalating, or at least things are becoming tense once again. After the shooting of Lavoie Finicum, the Patriot community was enraged. The FBI, within just a few days, released the video of the shooting. At that time, we had a testimony given by one of the individuals that was traveling with Ammon Bundy. There are all kinds of problems with his testimony. There's all kinds of problems, and you don't have to be a trained interrogator to know something's not right with this guy. And I had thought about going through, analyzing the video of his testimony because there's several things. First of all, it just made, all kinds of alarms were going off in my head and flags were popping up. Where you can just, something's not right here, right? He's one of the individuals that was detained at the roadblock with Ammon Bundy and then released right afterward. He says they interviewed him for a couple of hours, but they didn't get anything out of him because he's just that smart. He says he's smarter than the average person. I'm not buying it. I think this guy got rolled. And in fact, now I'm convinced he was rolled by the feds before his two-hour interview. In fact, possibly days before, if not weeks. The young girl, 18 or 19-year-old girl, Victoria Sharp, gave a testimony that seemed much more genuine and conflicted with what this other guy put out. And now we have, just this morning, was released a testimony from the other female that was in the vehicle that Lavoie Finicum was driving. And her story corroborates Victoria's story. So this gal, Cox is her last name. She gave this testimony explaining that they were under fire even before they took off. And we're going to learn more as this information comes in, but by both accounts and the video actually corroborates this. And that is that Ryan Payne's head and arms were outside the window, unarmed, talking to them, and somebody fires at him. He pulled his hands and arms back in immediately, which you can see in the video. Then he gets out with his hands up to try to talk to them, to try to talk him down. They did not fire on him after that, but that's when Lavoie apparently thought, they're going to kill us. They're already shooting at us, and I want to get to the sheriff because we'll be safe there, and he takes off. So I have that. Now, that video was done over Periscope, and it is a very poor quality audio because the guy's doing this with this cell phone on speaker, holding it up, and it's just horrible. So what I did was I pulled the audio from that video, and I enhanced it. So I edited it so that it only includes Shauna Cox's testimony. I cut out the 5 minutes of the guy talking about himself beforehand and afterward with all of his, you know, conjecture and everything else. So basically, you're just going to get the Shauna Cox interview, but I compressed it and then I amplified it to level because he was real loud. She was hard to hear, and it really helped a lot. That is uploaded at the Radio Free Readout Podbean site, and Pauly01 is getting that up over at Radio Free Readout to as a separate posting as well. So help spread the word, because that's yet another eyewitness account of the situation, and it does not look, it does not put the feds or the law enforcement in a favorable light at all. So anyway, there it is. As a result, this is the part of the news and commentary. As a result, the Patriot community is enraged. There's one, a couple of guys from the Pacific Patriots Network that put out an all call for all Patriots to converge on Burns. I believe this is a mistake. Right now, they are calling for peaceful demonstrations, a peaceful show, vehicles driving with their headlights on, honking their horns, and holding vigils for LaVoy Finicum. The reason why I think this is a bad idea is because right now the feds have a victory under their belt, and there is a possibility for something to go wrong right now with emotions running so high among the Patriots. All the Patriots might agree, and they are converging. There's several hundred Patriots that are there. And in response, the federal government is deploying additional armored vehicles. We've gotten reports of flatbed trailers hauling more MRAPs from Bend, Oregon to Burns earlier today. So they're there by now. Plus pictures from today of an increased tactical presence in Burns. What they are doing is they're anticipating some type of violent outbreak, so they're ramping things up, which is agitating some of the Patriots because it is affirming their claims that it is a police state. So all it's going to take is for one or two individuals to say peaceful nothing, this is bull, and I'm not going to take it anymore. So a very volatile situation. Several leaders and the Coalition of Western States have taken notice. They are perked up and alert right now because, well, like I've been saying for the last couple of weeks, few weeks, this whole thing could hurl us into a black hole. And I don't know, be prayerful. Pray for calm right now. We want to remember LaVoy, of course. He was a great, great patriot. And the situation made him emotional. He did something irrational. And anyway, we'll talk about that more after the break. But keep an eye on things and remember to continue praying about this situation. And as I closed out yesterday, let's get back to the mission. The mission is real. And that's the federal government's overreach, returning the lands back to the state's control or over to the state's control, and it instituting some measures to hold the federal government accountable who have been threatening and coercing ranchers and farmers off of the land because they want it for other purposes. And we got to get back to the mission. That's right now, all the focus is on militias, guns, and we're watching the temperature gauge of the public turn back against the Patriots, where just a week and a half ago, public opinion was turning against the federal government and the BLM as things were coming to light. And since then, since the shooting this week and the heavy federal presence, the victory for the federal government as things dwindled out there at the refuge. Now some of these folks that were emboldened to come forward and share their testimonies and tell about what they've experienced, the tyranny that they've endured from the BLM, now they are starting to fade back into the shadows. Because we're talking about militias, we're talking about guns, we're talking about standoffs and armored vehicles. And we're going to lose the narrative, we're going to lose the initiative and the momentum that's been built by bringing awareness to this situation. So anyway, Fox 519, it's all yours. This is the voice of the American Redoubt.
Hello, everyone. While most of the U.S. had its eyes on Oregon and the events surrounding the assassination of Lavoie Finnegan, I had my eyes looking at both Oregon and the world markets as more and more information comes out of Davos in the past week that should put us all on alert. Because as we saw here in Oregon last week, it doesn't matter how much the government promises you, in the end, they're always going to shoot you in the back and blame you for pulling the trigger. Hello, everyone. This is Fox 519 here, bringing you the news that matters to your pocketbook as patriots and preppers. This is Eye in the Economy, brought to you by Radio Free Redoubt.
All right, Fox. The economy has finally collapsed. I'm so glad we are all set and prepared. Looks like we've got our bases covered for a while. We've got the chickens for eggs and plenty of meat and lots of flour and yeast and other supplies.
Yep, we've got it all covered. I just got off the radio with the team and they're inbound right now. With any luck, they'll be here by day's end. We'd better get going around the tree here to be ready for them. Go tell the boys to break into the coffee storage and bring some up.
Dad, what are you talking about? We ran out of coffee last week. I was just down there. We don't have anything.
Last week? I haven't even had my coffee yet this morning. Oh, no. This is not good. We can't even drive into town and try to buy what's left. The army has already closed the highway into town. How could we have overlooked this?
What are we going to do? Without coffee, we're not going to make it. All right, everyone. You don't want to end up like this family, do you? The bottom has fallen out. The stuff has hit the fan. And no way to get to the store again, and not a cup of coffee in sight. This is just a bad situation waiting to get worse. Thankfully, you've got SistersCoffeeRoasters.com to watch your six. They offer premium green coffee beans vacuum sealed with instructions on how to roast your own coffee, and the price is awesome. 3 pounds of green beans for $21, and shipping is just $6. I've tasted it, and it's the best I've ever tasted. So forget that canned stale stuff and add Sisters Coffee Roasters coffee to your food storage today. Call 509-999-6694 and get set up for your delivery right away before it's too late. That's SistersCoffeeRoasters.com, and make sure no coffee drinker is left behind.
Well, welcome back, everyone, and a special thank you again to our sponsor, SistersCoffeeRoasters.com. Like I said last week, I've had their coffee, and it's some of the best I've ever tasted. Also, I want to mention they do roasted beans as well that you can add to your prep supplies if you like. So again, they offer green beans and roasted beans, and again, you will not be sorry. All right, on to the news. Well, this week we are back in our continuing coverage of the Davos, Switzerland meeting and the cascade of financial information that has come from that. The biggest news of all was the warning from William White. Now, we touched on this last week, and I want to provide you more details this week on what he based his economic analysis on. Now, White, to give you some background, used to be the chief economist for the Bank of International Settlements and both accurately predicted the dot-com and 2008 crashes. Now, I went back and verified that. Yes, his statements around that time were very, very accurate. Now, White has now pointed out that European banks are heavily exposed to emerging market debt, especially that of China's in recent weeks. European banks are already disclosed at least $1 trillion worth of non-performing loans on their books. Now, I would imagine a lot of those are petroleum-based. Now, I know that most experts are talking about how they're still hiding additional bad debts by rolling them over. That is just trading one debt for another. Now, the financial crisis, according to White, is likely to require a massive recapitalization of these banks. Now, who's going to pay for this? Us, the depositors. Anybody he's estimating that holds balances greater than $100,000 or 100,000 euros. White blames the quantitative easing and the zero rate policies for creating asset bubbles and over-indebtedness around the globe. White traces what he calls the, quote, inflationary bias in the monetary policy, ranging back to 1987 when the Fed tried to prevent the recessionary purging of bad investments after an October stock market crash. Then, with each successive business cycle after that point, the rates were further reduced, down and down and down, in what we know as the Wechselian natural rate. That is, the rate that brings the savings and investments into sustainable equilibrium in a dynamic economy. It's a lot of fancy talk there, but basically means they're not balanced right now. The inflationary bias was intensified during the 1990s when the Fed and other central banks attempted to stifle, quote, benign deflation. That was the natural effect of globalization and other market forces that greatly accelerated economic growth. Well, if this sounds familiar, it is. We are in a world that is repeating the same mistakes and countless other civilizations have committed before. Printed money, overregulated economy, and a tight group of few trying to control the flow of wealth to them and themselves alone. White's warning will be ignored again, and soon, very soon, the money will stop flowing altogether. I hope you are continuing to get ready, everyone. Another world news tonight, China, despite their focus on devaluating their economy and currency, has now set another record for their gold importation in 2015. China's net gold imports via main conduit of Hong Kong rebounded nearly 862 metric tons in 2015. Now, this data was showed up on Tuesday the 26th. Now, that also helped lift the prices of gold around the globe. China's gold imports rose to 867.7 tons in this last year from 813 tons in 2014. Now, this is according to information that was emailed to Reuters by Hong Kong Census and Statistics Department. Guess when this data rolled out? One day after White made his announcement about the potential coming fall. Ladies and gentlemen, China is preparing for that fall. We can see it in their actions, and we can see it in their economic efforts to make their economy look in shambles. We know they hold more gold offshore. What was disclosed to Reuters was just the tip of the iceberg. Think about this. Again, China made that announcement one day after White made his announcement in Davos. Do we not think this is fully planned? Sure it was. This just, again, tells me and you that we need to keep focusing on building our wealth through gold and silver. It should just be a regular part of your prep supplies. Okay, finally tonight. Whiskey 62 and I put out the call last week for folks who are looking to become a part of a survival group. We've received a few emails from folks, and we will be in touch shortly. If you're still interested, please write to me, Fox519 at RadioFreeReadout.com, and we'll be in touch. Remember, our group is in Eastern Washington, and you can't do this alone. Thanks again for listening, and for Eye on the Economy and Radio Free Readout, this is Fox 519 signing off. God bless.
You're listening to Radio Free Readout, the voice of the American Readout.
Thank you for staying with us. This is Radio Free Readout, and this is segment two, which is brought to you by Katie Armor. For your body armor needs, they've got the soft armor, also as well as the plates with the anti-spall coating. It's an American Readout-based business. Give them a call today, and don't forget to use your coupon code JohnJacob. And that reminds me also, you can email me at johnjacob@radiofreeredoubt.com for regular correspondence. Someone asked me this week, do I think the Oregon refuge situation was a setup? Thank you. And that's all he wrote. Well, okay, there's several components to this. Was the Oregon refuge a setup? Well, it certainly wasn't a setup, the original takedown. That was an offensive operation without any prior planning by inexperienced people that have no comprehension of planning for operations, security, operation security, logistics. It was just bad tactical move. Now, by the grace of God, strategically, it turned out to really shed some light on some things, but at a very high price. And so we don't want to let Lavoie's, death be in vain. There were many things, wrongdoings that were, the light was shed on. There were documents that became, that we became aware of involving the BLM and their wrestling of land away from ranchers and farmers. So Were they coerced by federal agents to go and take the refuge? Nope. That was all on Ammon. That was his baby. And those who went and supported him with that. They thought that was the right thing to do. It was a very poorly executed offensive operation. Now, God bless them. I mean, I love those guys. They're great guys. I know where their heart's at, and we all feel their same frustrations. Their solution, unfortunately, is not one that I would advise. So we're going to try to make as much good out of the situation as possible by continuing with the momentum and bring awareness to the situation and hopefully re-emboldening and re-empowering these ranchers and farmers that were coming out to share their testimony. Some of the tyrant has really showed itself with folks that, local people who just this week, in the last 48 hours, going out to feed their cattle and being taken down by the feds. Sir, they're locals, local ranchers. It would be so easy to find out who these people are, but they jack them up on the highway out by the refuge. It'd be so easy to confirm whether or not this guy's a local rancher truly going out there to feed his cattle. He's out there with his mother, goes with him. His wife's back at the house. They get taken down, searched, held at gunpoint. At one point, him being threatened, being told that they're going to smash him in his groin area, all that power going to their heads. They're furious. They feel so violated. Like, I'm a rancher going to feed my cows. I live here. Yeah, right. Then they made him walk while one of the agents drove the vehicle to some other checkpoint. Something, I don't know. I got the story, and I'm shaking my head as I'm reading this. And there's another lady locally. When the thing first went down, they went out to the Bundy, out to visit Ammon Bundy when he first took down the refuge, just to try to find out what is it that you're trying to accomplish here? Why are you doing this? What are you hoping? And they're one of the people that are aware of some of the wrongdoing by the BLM. There's a lot of frustration with the BLM, but nobody's doing anything about it. Now somebody's finally going to do something about it. As crazy it might seem, they're doing something about it. I want to go talk to these guys and find out, you know, what's going on in their head. What are they hoping to accomplish here? And they did. And ever since then, she's been harassed. Her phones have been tapped. Her website's been hacked and things done to subvert her business, which is partially done online. And I can't get into all of these because I was asked, no, don't name names. Don't get into this. This is what just happened. And then all these stories are coming in. So there is a problem. Now, back to the question, do I think that they were set up, that the refuge situation was a setup? The takedown on Tuesday with the roadblock and the traffic stop, all of that was absolutely a setup. No question about it. And one of the individuals who's got a big spotlight on him right now is the first guy who made the testimonial video, Mark McConnell. Mark McConnell was supposedly the security guy to protect Ammon, who pushed for them to leave and all travel together instead of separately. He really worked hard to get all of the leadership together in one caravan, in just two vehicles, and to all travel together without separation between the vehicles, as others were recommending. No, we should probably all just be better if we stayed together. His testimony has so many problems with it. I would love to have him for a couple of hours. There's people that are calling him a snitch. I will tell you what, Mark McConnell, you will be looking over your shoulder for the rest of your life because there are people who know what you did and I would not want to be you. So maybe I'll do an analysis on that video of his account of what happened, but it is not matching up at all with what the two girls said happened on that day. And both of them are saying he's a liar and there's just lots of problems there. Now, the other thing that I didn't mention yesterday was Lavoie was a very, and this was, I guess, corroborated by Shauna Cox's testimony that came out this morning. And it's very probable that LaVoy was shot, which is why his arms came down, why his hands were going to that left side. It looks like he's going for a weapon. But they never mentioned any firearms. They mentioned that he, once after they, you know, investigated, they found him to have a semi-automatic handgun in his inside coat pocket. Now, this is not consistent, and I've talked to folks who know him personally, and he was a cowboy through and through, very fond of revolvers, and did not trust semi-automatic. They jam. He had no use for semi-automatic pistols. So if he had pulled it, as some people say, no, it looks like, look at the video, he pulled his gun. No, if he would have pulled his gun, they would have mentioned it, because that only would work in their favor. It's interesting that they claim to have found him with a semi-automatic 9mm pistol in his coat pocket when he carried a revolver on his hip, which is also consistent with what Shauna Cox said. Now, you do something pretty crazy like take off from the police during a felony takedown, traffic stop, and you go at a high rate of speed, and you go flying into the snowbank right next to the barricade of police officers, you're going to get shot at. That vehicle got shot up. Now, if he did have a 9mm in his pocket, there's only a few explanations for that. One, the least probable is that they planted it on him. There was camera, there was eyes on, nobody came near the body except for when there were like four or five, six of them standing around. You're not going to get away with that. So the other possible chance is maybe Victoria had a 9mm on her, being under the age of 21. Hey, won't you hand that to me? As soon as they're getting pulled over, sticks it in his pocket. Or somebody else, you know, here, take this, stick it in your pocket. That's the only explanation. Or he just had a change of heart and all of a sudden decided that 9mm semi-automatic guns are a good thing to have after years and years of snubbing his nose at them, always preferring a revolver, cowboy gun, 45 long Colt. So those are the only three different possible solutions that I can think of. Or somebody just made a mistake and just attributed one of the 9mm recovered as to being on him. I don't know, but either way, something's not right there. So we're hoping to get this audio from body cameras, the dash cams, any video cameras that are running, anything and everything. And trying to get that released is going to be a really tough thing. But that's where we stand right now. Things are getting tense there once again. I want to invite you to go listen to that interview with Victoria Sharp. That's the third account that we've had, two of them corroborating one another. The other one, not so much. And this guy has got, let's just say, there are very powerful indicators of deception and self-preservation all throughout Mark McConnell's video. And the other two that corroborate one another are much more believable. Their posture. So we'll talk about that. Maybe I will do that. It'd be interesting to see, but you really don't need an expert opinion to tell you that somebody's lying. But in this case, it's just, it's written all over it. His posture, the words that he chooses, the dialogue that he has, or monologue, I should say. So anyway, well, let's take a break. When we come back, we're going to talk about a liberal author of an article that's circulating, and this is the first shot fired at the American Redoubt movement. A long-standing liberal, communist, I would say, and he's a product of a communist system, and his name is Chris Carlson. So stay tuned. We'll be back in just a minute.
This is Matt Shea with your daily news commentary, The Way I See It. Drudge Report today announced that on the evening of June 24th, ABC News would, quote, have anchor Charlie Gibson deliver world news from the Blue Room of the White House. Ladies and gentlemen, the White House. The report went on that ABC plans a primetime special, Prescription for America, originating from the East Room, excluding opposing voices on the debate over socialized medicine. In recent years, many have raised concerns over the objectivity of the major media. Indeed, the presidential election of 2008, with its lack of transparency and hard questions of certain candidates, reinforced those concerns. But to have a major news organization broadcast from inside the White House with the objective of promoting socialized medicine without debate is proof positive that at least one major media outlet is no longer free. Thomas Jefferson opined on the subject to John Tyler in 1804, quote, "Our first object should therefore be to leave open to him all the avenues to truth. The most effectual hitherto found is the freedom of press. It is, therefore, the first shut up by those who fear the investigation of their actions." In this case, the press has not been shut up, but co-opted. This development is eerily similar to Pravda, the official news source in the former Soviet Union. Pravda means truth in Russian, but as the Russian people quickly learned, it never was. It was simply another branch of government promoting the agenda of the powers that be. Combined with the other attempts to massively expand our government, this development should raise the eyebrows of every American. I predict this will hasten the shift of more and more Americans away from major media to internet news sources. But this begs the question, will the government co-opt or control that next? Based on what we are already witnessing, this may come sooner than we think. At least, that's the way I see it. This is Matt Shea. Thank you for listening.
How safe is your property? How long could it sustain you? Have you considered how you might deal with various threats? Have you planned out your property to get the most out of it for secure and self-reliant living? Those are the questions that Strategic Landscape Design answers. Their services include planning for the primary needs of water, food, energy, and self-defense, providing consulting and design services to help fellow patriots achieve a prepared lifestyle. Take the next step in making yours a secure and productive self-sufficient property. Go to www.strategiclandscapedesign.com.
In the line of the gunfire, it's the end of an empire.
We're back with segment three, which is brought to you by Selkirk Mountain Real Estate here at the Voice of the American Redoubt. If you are looking to get strategically relocated to the northern part of the panhandle of Idaho, SelkirkMountainRealEstate.com is where you want to go. And tell them you heard about them right here. At the Voice of the American Redoubt, which is, well, that's what we're going to talk about now because we finally got noticed. And this is interesting because this is exactly, well, it's very similar to how I thought it would happen. Once somebody starts writing an article, what are they going to say? What are the techniques? What are the tools? What are the tactics they're going to try to use in this information campaign, the information war that we're in? And I'd already thought about this for years. I'm surprised it's taken years, but now that it's finally starting to happen. Well, the Idaho State Journal posted an article that Chris Carlson wrote. Now, this article starts out, "There's a new player on the Idaho political scene that warrants careful monitoring and serious scrutiny. They call themselves the American Redoubt Movement." All right, so this is great, right? Now, who wrote this? Chris Carlson. He is a former teacher and was a press secretary for former Idaho Governor Cecil Andrus. Now, Cecil Andrus, when he was governor, he actually, before that, what did he do? He was like the secretary of the Department of Interior. He's one of the ones who brokered the deal, one of the largest land grabs in Alaska, to make Alaska massive tracts of land off limits to monuments and wildlife preserves and all this stuff. It locked down so much natural resources. The people from Alaska still who remember him from 20 years ago when he pulled this, I mean, can't stand him. They cannot stand the Cecil Andrus. Well, he's the governor of Idaho. The liberals know that. I mean, he even has a reputation among the liberals. As, you know, that what is this? I was looking at this forum, and it says Idaho has a proud liberal tradition in the great Senator Frank Church, liberal, and in Governor Cecil Andrus, liberal, communist, globalist. One of the worst governors ever in Idaho's history. And this guy, Chris Carlson, was his press secretary. Now, that translates, let me translate for you, propagandist. The press secretary for the governor, a communist governor, is called also a propagandist. He's a teacher and the press secretary. He also wrote a book titled Cecil Andrus, Idaho's Greatest Governor. So that's the kind of person we're dealing with right here. So let's go through this. This is going to be fun. They call themselves the American Redoubt Movement, but they bear an uncanny resemblance to the survivalists and posse comitatus types that operated in Idaho in the 1980s. Now, this must be bad, right? Well, because, well, what is posse comitatus? I don't even know, but I can already tell the tone. I mean, these guys require close, very close scrutiny. And they bear an uncanny resemblance to the posse comitatus. That must have been bad. So let's read this. The Posse Manifesto was written in, what, 1971. It recommended that the organization of local posse groups throughout the United States and declaring the country the county sheriff was the only legal law enforcement officer. Now, this was written by the Posse Comitatus Manifesto was written by this guy by the name of Gale. So Gale and the posse pioneered the so-called common law court methodology by indicting people in Idaho, Oregon, and elsewhere using citizens' grand juries. The first known case of a citizens' grand jury issuing a written threat was in 1972 in a conflict between a tax protester named George Kindred and state revenue authorities in Ingham County, Michigan. A posse group there issued a notice threatening the local sheriff and law enforcement authorities for their enforcement of a state tax order. Posse gained its first foothold in Wisconsin in 1974. The individual behind that, Thomas Stockheimer, organized a group of posse followers that August to essentially abduct an IRS agent they lured to a farm. They held him for several hours and assaulted him. A month later, Stockheimer organized nearly 100 supporters to disrupt a hearing of the State Department of Natural Resources, Eau Claire, 1975. Okay. A posse group indicted a DuPage County, Illinois judge who found a member of the group in contempt of court during a divorce hearing. So the posse comitatus basically is they're going around indicting officials. There's an uncanny resemblance between the American Redoubt and Posse Comitatus movement. False. There are no correlations at all. There is no parallel that you can draw from this. What I just described to you is the description from one of these anti-hate watch websites about what Posse Comitatus is. Their manifesto, their actions of indicting people, indicting officials, luring an IRS agent so that they abducted him, held him for several hours. That does not line up with anything about the American Redoubt movement. This is just beyond a stretch. Survivalists. Oh, an uncanny resemblance to the survivalists. Well, so what? Survivalists of yesterday are the preppers of today. But see, the American Redoubt movement isn't about survivalism or preppers. Most of the people in the American Redoubt are preppers or prepper-minded. They're self-reliant. And this is, let me add some clarification here. The American Redoubt is about being self-reliant, self-sufficient, so that in case of a major disaster, you can feed your family, help others, and help with the recovery process, to help with the rebuilding, right? So you're not standing in line for soup, but don't get so consumed with the prepper thing that you fail to be a patriot, being engaged and involved in that rebuilding process. Become a patriot too. Understand your heritage. Understand the founding documents of our country. Understand the history, right? Be a patriot, not just a prepper looking out for you, but a self-reliant patriot. So you can help yourself and others in times of need. You won't be a burden on someone else in times of crisis. And you can, in fact, help others and be part of the solution on the other side in the recovery. Now, he says their agendas are remarkably similar to the primus. Let me break it down. The agendas between survivalists and the comitatus are remarkably similar, which is false. I'm going to point out why and how. The primacy of the U.S. Constitution, A, support for so-called open carry of firearms, repeal of the 17th Amendment, the direct election of U.S. senators by a state's legislature, adamant opposition to immigrants, abolishing agencies like EPA, supremacy of a county sheriff as the highest figure in the criminal justice system, etc. All right, first of all, just take these one at a time. Primacy of the U.S. Constitution. What's the word primacy means? That means, the dictionary says the fact of being primary, preeminent, or more important. That's what primacy means. Is there anyone here who thinks that the Constitution of the United States should not have primacy? What's the point? If a constitution does not have primacy, what's the point of having a constitution? Well, except for like Hillary says, I love the Constitution. It's a living, breathing document that we can change at any time. False. If you do that, it's not a constitution. And then you don't have a republic. The Constitution is the guide which I will never abandon. You know who said that? Some posse comitatus guy, some survivalist? George Washington said, the Constitution is the guide, which I never will abandon. He thought that the Constitution should have supremacy or primacy. The American Redoubt movement asserts that there is a higher law which holds ultimate supremacy, God's law. And I'm not saying God's law supersedes the Constitution either, because the Constitution, as it was intended by its drafters, is not only not in conflict with God's law, but it is actually in accord with it. Biblical models for governance and liberty are found all through the Constitution. So don't mistake Christian patriots as Constitution worshipers, which you should not be. We're Constitution defenders, as we should be. It was crafted by God-fearing men, any one of whom were more biblically literate than put any 10 of today's pastors together. Let me read you the preamble to the Idaho State Constitution, because he's from Idaho and he's talking about Idaho here. Well, he's talking about the whole American Redoubt, but he focuses a lot of this toward Idaho. The Constitution of Idaho starts in the preamble. We, the people of the state of Idaho, grateful to Almighty God for our freedom, to secure its blessings and promote our common welfare, do establish this Constitution. So, supremacy, it is a document which glorifies God. Interesting, huh? The Bible and the Constitution are in concert, and each and both trumps all other laws, even and especially the laws that your kind, Mr. Connolly, twist the meaning and the spirit and intent of out of shape, you twist the Constitution out of shape to justify your God-defying laws, your rebellious, unlawful laws, such as laws aimed at prosecuting Christian business owners for refusing to participate in celebrations of sexual deviancy, to prosecute one for his Christian beliefs when he refuses to do something that violates his or her moral conscience. Those are the laws that you want to pass. And when we say no, that's unconstitutional. Oh, you're one of those that pushes for constitutional primacy. You better believe it. That is no vice. Okay, his second point. These guys support have support for so-called open carry of firearms. Well, it's not so-called. We are pushing for open carry of firearms. The Constitution shall never be construed to prevent the people of the United States, who are peaceable citizens, from keeping their own arms. Samuel Adams, which you would probably hate. You would hate his guts if he were alive today or if you were living back then with your frame of mind. Thomas Jefferson said, "The Constitution of most of our states and of the United States assert that all power is inherent in the people and that they may exercise it by themselves, that it is their right and duty to be at all times armed." How's that? See, that's what you have to attack, the primacy of the Constitution. Because when you used to push for these things, disarming Americans, we go back to the Constitution. You go, darn it. So how can we get rid of the Constitution? Well, you demonize those people who insist that we follow the Constitution. And we were warned about people like you. That's why we can see right through you. So his third point, his third beef with the American Redoubt movement, or people like that, repeal of the 17th Amendment. Now, I've never jumped on this bandwagon. I have mentioned it before because I spoke to some people that explained to me, because I didn't understand it, how the 17th Amendment was harmful. Now, many constitutional scholars have said that the 17th Amendment has turned out to actually harm the Republic the way it was intended to be. And that's where U.S. senators were elected by the state's legislature. Maybe we should get somebody on to talk about that one some point. But that's not a, you know, we don't wave that banner around and run around talking about repealing the 17th Amendment, although it might not be a bad idea. And for good, very well thought out, well reasoned reasons. It was an experiment that failed. In fact, many constitutional scholars have said that at least half of the 17 amendments that came after the original 10, known as the Bill of Rights, were more harmful than good. So if anything, our concerns are aligned with President Abraham Lincoln when he said, "We the people are the rightful masters of both Congress and the courts, not to overthrow the Constitution, but to overthrow the men who pervert the Constitution." Now, the other thing that he brings up, point four, these American Redoubt folks are adamant opposition to immigrants. False. This is a lie. And you know that it's a lie. And you keep perpetuating it, which makes you a willful deceiver and a liar, Mr. Carlson. We are all, most of us, sons and grandsons of immigrants. But our forefathers immigrated legally. Listen to that term, legally. We support a national security program, which is the duty of the federal government that they've been negligent in, to secure our borders and to control, if not prevent, illegal immigration. There is a legal process for coming to this country and for being a citizen. And this administration is willfully subverting our immigration laws. If you support that, then you are a supporter of lawlessness, Chris Carlson. The exact opposite of your deliberately misleading claims about us, patriots. His fifth point, abolishing agencies like the EPA. Again, that's no vice. Absolutely. Look, the EPA is the thug agency used to erode American national sovereignty and to bring our nation and its policies and its people into submission to a global governing body, specifically the United Nations Agenda 21 that they're so fond of, and an agenda that's truly is a conspiracy, and it's not theoretical. The Founding Fathers warned us to guard against the centralization of power, and those who espouse the American Readout movement would agree with abolishing even more than the EPA, such as the ATF or the Department of Homeland Security and others. His sixth point. So, of course, that's number five, abolishing agencies like the EPA. Is that a bad thing to have that thought? Does that make us evil, worthy of scrutiny? Of course it does, for somebody like you with a Marxist agenda. There's some others. Let me take a break. Supremacy of a sheriff as the highest figure in the criminal justice system. We'll talk about that too. This guy's so off the charts. He just needs to go somewhere else. He obviously doesn't belong in the American Readout. Okay, this is Radio Free Readout. Stay right there. Hi everyone, this is John Jacob Schmidt, here to tell you about the 299 Days book series by lawyer and author Glenn Tate. Follow him through his real-life story of transitioning from middle-aged, unprepared suburbanite to full-blown prepper, tactical team member, and provider and protector of his family. Then, let Glenn take you on a wild ride through the collapse, community building, resistance against a corrupt system, and the rebirth of a new one. Go to 299days.com to learn more.
There is an exodus happening in America today, from cities full of crime and corruption to the rural areas of clean and sustainable living. Like-minded patriots are coming to North Idaho in search of a simpler, self-reliant lifestyle. I'm Chris Walsh, broker and owner of Revolutionary Realty, based in the heart of America's Great Redoubt, North Idaho. Sometimes God puts you somewhere for a special reason. For me, I believe it's to help like-minded patriots find safety and security for their loved ones. At Revolutionary Realty, we educate buyers about solar power, growing food, obtaining water, and personal security. I became a realtor in 2008 at the bottom of the real estate market, but not the top. I believe that there is a grand plan and that I'm just a part of it. My job is to help people discover and relocate to America's Great Redoubt. Call a revolutionary today at 208-667-1776 or visit us at revrealty.us to learn more. That's www.revrealty.us, and God bless you.
Hey, everyone. This is Glenn Tate checking in from Occupied Territory, wishing I was in the American Readout right now. You're tuned in to the voice of the American Readout.
The fourth and final segment of the John Jacob Schmidt Show. Thank you for tuning in. Episode 15-0-16-05. Wow, man, it's time. Time's flying. Okay, so we are talking about this letter about the American Readout needs to be watched very closely, scrutinized. There are doubts about the American Readout. Chris Carlson was the propagandist for one of the most left-wing, destructive, Marxist-embracing governors ever to be the governor of Idaho years ago. And this is a crusty old holdover from back when Idaho was mostly a blue state, but that was also before the Democrats took on a full-on communist agenda, at least in Idaho. So the supremacy of the county sheriff as the highest figure in the criminal justice system. This is what he's claiming that we espouse. He's telling us what we believe, right? And he's wrong. In fact, this statement that we believe in the supremacy of a county sheriff as the highest figure, I'm quoting, the supremacy of a county sheriff as the highest figure in the criminal justice system, etc. Okay, false and misleading. The sheriff is the only elected law enforcement official in America. He is the last line of defense for his citizens. He is the people's protector because he's not appointed. He is not a bureaucrat. He is elected by the people. Okay, so as pointed out in numerous studies and referenced over at the Constitutional Law Enforcement Association, you got to go back to the 10th Amendment to the Constitution, which I know we're bringing up the Constitution. Oh, there they go. They believe in primacy of the Constitution. That's what they always are. Constitution, Constitution. Well, it's there for a reason, and you don't like it, but too bad. The 10th Amendment has very simple language. The powers not delegated to the United States by the Constitution, nor prohibited by it to the states, are reserved to the states respectively, or to the people. That means if it's a power not delegated to the government by the Constitution, to the people or to the states. And who is the law enforcement agent to the people? It's the one that the people can directly elect, the sheriff. So the 10th Amendment emphasizes that the inclusion of a Bill of Rights does not change the fundamental character of the national government. It remains a government of limited and enumerated powers, so that the first question involving an exercise of federal power is not whether it violates someone's rights, but whether it exceeds the national government's enumeration of powers. I'm reading you from the 10th Amendment, explanation on it. I'll let you know when we get back to Chris Carlson's statements. If any abuse occurs in your county by federal officials, does your sheriff have the guts and the authority to protect and defend you? Yes, he has the right and the duty to do so. According to the Constitutional Law Enforcement Association article on this, in Mack Prince versus the USA, the Supreme Court declared that the states or their political subdivisions are not subject to federal direction. The issue of federal authority is defined even further in this most powerful 10th Amendment decision. The two sheriffs who brought, okay, this is involved in two sheriffs who were in a lawsuit with the federal government about being forced to enforce federal law, that you don't have no jurisdiction over them. So let me continue. Now this is Chris talking. The differences between then and now are revealing. Then they did not register to vote. They weren't active in local or state politics. He's talking about, I don't know, these racist, he brings that up in just a minute. Posse comitatus, anti-government. See, we're not anti-government. But he says, this is what he says. The difference between then and now are revealing. Then they did not register or vote. They weren't active in local or state politics. Now they have become the shock troops for the Tea Party and openly support certain candidates. I like that. Shock troops for the Tea Party. Oh, yes, Mr. Chris, we vote. And it's scaring the crap out of you. And you should be scared because we've resolved to shut your godless, communist, anti-America down. There are hundreds and there are thousands on the way. We not only vote, we are fully engaged in the system. You don't even know the half of it. You weathered old shriveled up remnant of the communist baby boomer generation. I'm telling you, we are so not anti-government. We are the government. American citizens engaged, involved at the local and at the county and at the state level. And demographically, there are more patriots here per capita than just about any other part of the country, except maybe Texas. And those people are engaged. There are other pockets of conservative Christian patriots across the country. American Redoubt is just one of them. But see, we're not anti-government. It would actually work in your favor if we were anti-government, but we're not. We are pro-government. We are so pro-government that we feel compelled to be part of the system. And that is a problem for you. The American Redoubt scares you, and it should. It means the end of your Marxist vision for America, or at least this part of it. If the Republicans... Now, let me move on. He writes, in the Republicans' closed primary, they can exercise tremendous influence over their fellow citizens. Several of their sympathizers, such as Representative Heather Scott of Blanchard, have been elected to the legislature and have started referencing the writings of their spiritual founder, James Rawls. Now, this is where it loses even more credibility. Spiritual founder? What the heck does that even mean? James Rawls coined the phrase American Redoubt, and he outlined what he felt was one of the few viable responses we still have left to responding to the destruction of our republic. And I agree with them. It's about demographically shifting patriot conservatives into a region, and it's happening. This is really cool. Spiritual founder, what a dweeb. Oh, he says, so since he's bringing up Representative Heather Scott, a legislator in Idaho. Scott, by the way, has truly become an embarrassment to Idaho. She unfurled and embraced the Confederate stars and bars at one rally, just as police in South Carolina were finally getting a handle on things. Okay, first of all, far from being an embarrassment, as you call it, Representative Heather Scott is hugely popular with her constituents and the envy of citizens both in Washington and Idaho who wished they had legislators in their own districts who would take such hard stands on issues as she has, such as the right to self-defense, pro-life issues and saving unborn children from being murdered, protection of marriage from being perverted and marginalized. She's fought for states' rights, religious freedom, and the list goes on. Holding a Confederate battle flag out at a rally is also no vice. It has only just recently become a cultural taboo. In a society that's so fickle, it doesn't know what it believes in unless someone like you comes along to tell them what their opinion should be on something. And a culture that doesn't even know its own heritage, except through a blurred lens of distorting historical revisionism. Chris Carlson, people like you who have lost your minds and succumbed and perpetuated political correctness are the ones defining what's evil and what's good. Your ilk supports putting a crucifix in a jar of urine, touting it as protected freedom of expression, but any expression of any ideology that you might disagree with, such as those that are proud of their Southern heritage, is something to be ashamed of. Remember, it's the Democrats who specifically pushed for disarming people of color so they couldn't defend themselves. It's the Democrats who pushed for the practice of eugenics to specifically target minority populations, and especially blacks. A program that today, known as Planned Parenthood, continues to target black communities, convincing them to murder their own children and funding it for them under the lie that you're protecting their women's rights. You're pathetic. It's your kind who are the real racists. You and your kind support the killing of more black babies than all of the people who've ever flown a Confederate flag combined. The Confederate flag represents resistance, and that's what scares you. I've never been into the Southern Pride thing. I'm not from the South. I've lived in the South, and I've been stationed in the South, and those are some of the most awesome, caring, God-fearing, patriotic people I've known. Love the people from the South. As soon as I saw the move to ban the Confederate flag from the public's eye, I went out and bought one myself, a very high-quality one at that. Why? Because it's part of our American history and heritage that you are trying to erase. You are the racist pigs with more blood on your hands communists, left-wing Democrats, then the KKK. You've got more blood on your hands than the KKK, you racist murderers. Oh, and by the way, wasn't the KKK a bunch of Democrats? I'll move on. He says, if I'd been the U.S. attorney for Idaho, I would have cited her for trying to incite a riot. Then Scott traveled to Malheur Wildlife Refuge to embrace the cause of folks there engaging in sedition. The people of Harney County, Oregon, most of them ranchers who abide by the terms of their grazing leases, don't want her or the SS-like storm troops hanging around. The SS-like storm troops are the federal government driving around in MRAPs. Scott tries to justify the unjustifiable. Okay, well... First of all, you are not the U.S. attorney for Idaho, and you just demonstrated that you'd be grossly underqualified to be one. The only riot she incited is the one inside of your head, and you'll get over it. Yes, she went to Oregon. She went there because, unlike your claims, the ranchers in Oregon and all across the western states are coming forward with their stories of threats and coercion against them by the BLM. Who are working to force people off the land that they've ranched and farmed for generations. But that's not something you'd understand, since you've always lived on the dole, sucking from the public treasury for your wages, such as, what's this? Let me look. Oh, he's a teacher, a propagandist for a governor. Now, this is such typical and predictable mentality, thinking of a public employee. You've always just had it handed to you. A great wage, benefits, health coverage. It's just always come so easy to you, and you've never produced a thing except propaganda. But I'll bet you sure enjoyed that range-fed beef you shoved in your mouth over the years, haven't you? He says the forefathers of the American Redoubters used to embrace racism. Now Rawls says racism ignores reason. They say they welcome all and that there's no discrimination against minorities, but that's easy to say when you have few minorities. I knew this was going to come up. I've just been waiting for this. Well, really? Can you even qualify that statement, Chris Carlson? No, because you just pulled it out of your butt. Give me an example of where the fathers of the American Redoubt used to embrace racism. My email is johnjacob@radiofreeredoubt.com. I want to see your evidence. But since there is no evidence, only false accusations, I don't expect you'll be able to provide one example. Now, if you do provide some type of evidence that the fathers of the American Redoubt were racist, I'll meet up for lunch again with my friend Alex Barron from the Charles Carroll Society, who recently redoubted here from a People's Democratic cesspool of California, the utopia, and we'll discuss your examples of American Redoubt movement proponents and their racism. By the way, he's black. And he finds your assertions repulsive and sees you for the Marxist you are. But he says, then the Redoubt types banded together for protection wherever they were. Now Rawls touts political migration to smaller western states like Idaho, Montana, and Wyoming, where he believes they can live relatively unbothered by the federal government. This, in fact, is the underlying concept and key to understanding American Redoubt. No. Not relatively unbothered by the federal government. There's nowhere you can go where the federal government doesn't want to force submission of left-wing oppressive bureaucracies onto the people in this country. It's just that the American Redoubt region is still one of the most relatively free parts of the country where the local governments, and in some cases the whole state's governments, haven't fully given over to the communism you're trying to spread. Make no mistake, the American Redoubt Patriots know they won't be left alone. That's why they're getting engaged in the system, in politics, in voting, and active in their communities. The American Redoubt is one of the free zones still left. And the citizens here are prepared to fight to keep it that way. And that scares people like you. It's also interesting that you pull out the race card, which has nothing to do with the American Redoubt movement, while you, yourself, live in one of the whitest areas of the country. You hypocrite. Don't even pretend to have found the key to understanding the American Redoubt, because you'll never understand it. It will always confound your mind, because you suffer from a mental disease called progressivism. Isn't that right? He says, despite the outcome of America's great and bloody Civil War, these types still adhere to the concept of a state's right to secede from the Union or nullify congressional laws they dislike. The Supreme Court has firmly rejected both. Oh, we have a constitutional scholar here now. Of course, isn't Obama supposedly a constitutional lawyer? And his minions now are constitutional experts. Again, you've got it all wrong. No one is saying states have the right to secede from the Union. You're twisting things again. The Constitution allows for a part of a state to secede from another state, forming its own state within the Union. And there's a process for that. But that's not part of the American Redoubt narrative either. Again, spouting off with something from your burp hole that you don't even understand. As a side note, however, and this is just me, John Jacob Schmidt talking, our birth certificate, the Declaration of Independence, does have this to say. I quote, that to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men through deriving their just powers from the consent of the governed. That whenever any form of government becomes destructive of these ends, it is the right of the people to alter or abolish it and to institute new government, laying its foundation on such principles and organizing its powers in such form as to them shall seem most likely to affect their safety and happiness. That's our Constitution, or that's the Declaration of Independence, which preceded our Constitution. We, the people, are the rightful masters of both Congress and the courts, not to overthrow the Constitution, but to overthrow the men who pervert the Constitution. Abraham Lincoln said that, and he was probably talking to people just like you, Chris Carlson. He says, they still don't understand what Supreme Court Justice Antonin Scalia, in his majority ruling and precedent setting 5-4 Supreme Court opinion, District of Columbia versus Heller, ruled. Scalia wrote, there was a qualified right for an individual to carry a weapon, whether concealed or not, apart from being a member of a militia. Scalia clearly said there is not an absolute right. He went on to write that the state, in the name of public safety, has the right to close off public spaces like schools and courts to the carrying of any weapon, whether concealed or otherwise. One can conclude he would not support Representative Scott and American Redoubt's so-called constitutional carry legislation. Great speculation on your part, Chris. Your supposition of what a conservative, God-fearing, constitutional-revering justice would or would not rule on, I'm sure Justice Scalia would just love you speaking for him. But the constitutional carry that Representative Scott are proposing simply would allow a citizen to be armed as per the Constitution and Supreme Court case law. And I would also remind you, this is not Representative Heather Scott's legislation. There are many representatives, legislators, who are proposing a constitutional carry bill. And you know why? It's not their bill. It's the people's bill. It's not what they want. It's what the people want. The people want to be able to have their constitutional right to carry, to defend themselves, recognized and put into state law on the books so that it reinforces and reflects what the Constitution says and the spirit and intent of it. He says, redoubters say they love their country, but they fear their government that protects their right to dissent, their right to free speech, their right to vote, and their right to own sidearms, rifles, and shotguns. Let me read that to you again. The redoubters say they love their country, but they fear their government that protects their right to dissent, their right to free speech, their right to vote, and their right to own sidearms, rifles, and shotguns. Chris, are you that out of touch with reality? If our government acted according to Romans chapter 13, we would have no reason to fear them. Let me read that to you. For the one in authority is God's servant for your good. But if you do wrong, be afraid, for rulers do not bear the sword for no reason. They are God's servants, agents of wrath to bring punishment on the wrongdoer. But just a few weeks ago, Loretta Lynch, under Obama, said they would punish those who speak out against Islam, an anti-Christian and an anti-American system of domination. If you speak out against it, they are coming after you. How does that sound? Does that sound like our government is protecting our right to express and the freedom of speech? No, it's the opposite. It is the government that is prosecuting a team of people for producing a video exposing the illegal selling of body parts harvested from murdered babies. It's the government who is developing schemes to disarm more and more Americans, not protect their rights to self-defense. It is the government, this current administration, who is prosecuting Christians for not compromising on their beliefs and who refuse to rent a room at a bed and breakfast to a homosexual couple on their wedding night or to photograph their so-called wedding. The government is enforcing all that flies in the face of God and our heritage and our beliefs and all that's American. And what is the theme of Romans chapter 13? Now, that was much more of a message to government than it was to the citizen. But it's misused. It's talking about obeying the higher authority, which is just and righteous and punishes evil. So let's look at this. Let everyone be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except that which God has established. The authorities that exist have been established by God. Consequently, whoever rebels against the authority is rebelling against what God has instituted. You get this? This applies to you, members of the government, because there's a higher authority. There is God. He is the highest authority that even you are answerable to. You see this? I'm going to do a thing on this. You take this to use, you use this scripture, Romans 13, to keep the believers in check and obedient to you, but you are in rebellion against the higher authority. Listen to this wording and tell me it doesn't apply to you, government. Consequently, whoever rebels against the authority is rebelling against what God has instituted. And those who do so will bring judgment on themselves. For rulers hold no terror to those who do right, but for those who do wrong. Do you want to be free from fear of the one in authority? Then do what is right and you will be commended. For the one in authority is God's servant for your good. But if you do wrong, be afraid, for rulers do not bear the sword for no reason. There is another higher authority. Whoever rebels against the authority is rebelling against what God has instituted. And you, Mr. Chris Carlson, are supporting a current administration, those who have perverted the Constitution and our government, to hold up things that are in rebellion against the authority of what God has instituted. But you wouldn't understand that because, well, God's probably just this fairy tale thing up in the sky anyway, or just in the minds of, you know, weird people like patriots. He says, however, they, meaning redoubters, don't believe in your right to an ownership interest in the nation's public lands, its wonderful national parks, its wildlife refuges, its national forests and wilderness areas. Another lie. We believe in your right as an Idaho or Oregon or Montana citizen to have an ownership interest in lands that should have been turned over to the states and never should be the nation's public lands, because it's under this veil of deception that the BLM is forcing the salt and the earth, breadbasket and ranching industries off of those lands and locking down the natural resources under the surface and turning what's above the surface into wind and solar farms. It's about power and control. We love our parks and wildlife refuges too, but we just want control of those and the control of those to be close to home at the state level, where it's not centralized, where it can be as corrupted and perverted as easily, where the people have control over it. And that's how it was intended to be. I'm almost done. He says, no, because they live adjacent to those lands, whether dedicated or multiple use, prominent single use. They think these lands are theirs and they are, and they own them. And why not? The people in the liberal East Coast have had all the public lands turned over to them. You trust the eastern states with all that land, but you don't trust the western states to take possession of the land within their own state's boundaries? How arrogant and conceited is that? He says, keep your eye on these American redoubters and their Tea Party puppets. They are wolves in sheep's clothing. No, I would more say like sheepdogs. We're not sheep, and you are the wolf. So, yes, we will be keeping an eye on you and your kind. Former teacher and former propagandist for one of the reputed worst governors ever of the state of Idaho. Cut right from Marxist cloth. Well, that's all I got for you guys. I know we got started a little bit late tonight because of everything that's going on. Hard to get to it. I'll be working on the partisan radio. But anyway, I got lots to do. Tons of stuff. I got to get some SOIs. Shout out to some folks who sent in offerings to get those. So I'll get those emailed out here in just a little while this evening. And you guys have a blessed week. Keep checking the website and our Facebook page. We'll keep you guys posted on things as they develop. And we will be keeping a very close eye on all of the developments in Oregon and elsewhere. This is John Jacob Schmidt, and you've been listening to The Voice of the American Redoubt. Good night.